Bible Commentary, Volume 3, Ellen G. White Comments, 1 Chronicles, Chapter 21, Verses 1 to 13. David trusted himself to God's mercies. The work of numbering Israel is not fully completed before David feels that he has committed a great sin against God. He sees his error and humbles himself before God, confessing his great sin and foolishly numbering the people. But his repentance came too late. The word had already gone forth from the Lord to his faithful prophet to carry a message to David and offer him his choice of punishments for his transgression. David still shows that he has confidence in God. He chooses to fall into the hands of a merciful God rather than to be left to the cruel mercies of wicked men. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, page 385, verses 14 to 27. David's repentance accepted and destruction stayed. Swift destruction followed. 70,000 were destroyed by pestilence. David and the elders of Israel were in the deepest humiliation, mourning before the Lord. As the angel of the Lord was on his way to destroy Jerusalem, God bade him stay his work of death. A pitiful God loves his people still, notwithstanding their rebellion. The angel, clad in warlike garments with a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem, is revealed to David and to those who are with him. David is terribly afraid, yet he cries out in his distress and his compassion for Israel. He begs of God to save the sheep. In anguish he confesses, "I have sinned, and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." God speaks to David by his prophet and bids him make atonement for his sin. David's heart was in the work, and his repentance was accepted. The threshing floor of Araunah is offered him freely, where to build an altar unto the Lord, also cattle and everything needful for the sacrifice. But David tells him who would make this generous offering that the Lord will accept the sacrifice which he is willing to make, but that he would not come before the Lord with an offering which cost him nothing. He would buy it of him for full price. He offered there burnt offerings and peace offerings. God accepted the offerings by answering David and sending fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. The angel of the Lord was commanded to put his sword into his sheath and cease his work of destruction. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, page 385 and 386. Chapter 22, verse 13. God blesses those who cherish principle. Did the Lord make a mistake in placing Solomon in a position of so great responsibility? Nay, God prepared him to bear these responsibilities and promised him grace and strength on condition of obedience. The Lord sets men in responsible places not to act out their own wills, but His will. So long as they cherish His pure principles of government, He will bless and strengthen them, recognizing them as His instrumentalities. God never forsakes the one who is true to principle. Manuscript 164, 1902, chapter 23, verses 1 to 5. Organization for the temple services. The 4,000 musicians, divided into 24 courses, were each led by 12 men, especially instructed and skillful in the use of musical instruments. The work of the porters was also definitely arranged. The priests were divided into 24 courses, and a full and accurate record was made regarding this division. Each course was thoroughly organized under its chief, and each was to come to Jerusalem twice a year to attend for 1 week to the ministry of the sanctuary. The Levites, whose duty it was to assist in the sanctuary service, were organized and allotted their part with similar precision. Review and Herald, October 5, 1905. Chapter 27, verses 1 and 32 to 34. Wide distribution of responsibility lessened burdens. In planning for the administration of the affairs of the kingdom after David abdicated in favor of Solomon, the aged king and his son and their counselors regarded it as essential that everything be done with regularity, propriety, fidelity, and dispatch. So far as possible, they followed the system of organization given Israel soon after the deliverance from Egypt. The Levites were assigned to work connected with the temple service, including the ministry of song and instrumental music and the keeping of the treasures. The men capable of bearing arms and of serving the king were divided into 12 courses of 24,000 each. Over every course was a captain. The general of the king's army was Joab. The courses came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year. Thus every group of 24,000 served the king 1 month during each year. David appointed Jonathan, his uncle, as a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. Ahithophel also was the king's counselor, and after Ahithophel was Jehoiada and Abiathar. Hushai was the king's friend. By his prudent example, the aged king taught Solomon that in the multitude of counselors there is safety. The thoroughness and completeness of the organization perfected at the beginning of Solomon's reign, the comprehensiveness of the plans for bringing the largest number possible of all the people into active service, the wide distribution of responsibilities so that the service of God and of the king should not be unduly burdensome to any individual or class. These are lessons which all may study with profit and which the leaders of the Christian church should understand and follow. This picture of a great and mighty nation living in simplicity and comfort in rural homes, every person rendering willing and unsalaried service to God and the king for a portion of each year, is one from which we may gather many helpful suggestions. Review and Herald, October 12, 1905. Chapter 28, verse 9. Fidelity must precede blessings. This charge is given to the men in positions of trust in the work of God today as verily as it was given to Solomon. The day of test and trial is upon them as verily as it was then upon Solomon. Fidelity is required before God can bestow the blessings that he has promised. Those who offer God acceptable service must obey all his commandments. Thus they become representatives of Christ. Manuscript 163, 1902, verses 11 to 13 and 19. An angel guided David's writing. The Lord, through his angel, instructed David and gave him a pattern of the house which Solomon should build for him. An angel was commissioned to stand by David while he was writing out for the benefit of Solomon the important directions in regard to the arrangements of the house. David's heart was in the work. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, pages 387, 388. Carpenter of Nazareth was heavenly architect. Christ was the foundation of the Jewish economy. He planned the arrangements of the first earthly tabernacle. He gave every specification in regard to the building of Solomon's temple. He who worked as a carpenter in the village of Nazareth was a heavenly architect who marked out the plan of the house where his name should be honored. The things of heaven and earth are more directly under Christ's supervision than many realize. Manuscript 34, 1899, verses 20 and 21. God gives wisdom to accomplish this work. David's solemn charge should be kept in mind by those who are in positions of trust today, for it is as verily binding upon these men as it was upon Solomon at the time it was given. In this our day of probation, God's people are being tested and tried as surely as they were in the days of Solomon. This whole chapter is of importance to all the people of God living in this age. In the business that he desires men of his appointment to carry on for the safety and prosperity of his kingdom, the Lord does not link together scattered elements that have not had a genuine experience and that give no promise of developing character that may be depended upon to bear responsibilities in connection with the work of molding and fashioning a nation to do a most solemn, sacred service for God. Consistent with the uplifted, purified state of a people who represent him. God's service is not committed to one man's judgment and option, but is divided among those who are found willing to labor interestedly and self-sacrificingly. Thus all, according to the skill and ability God has given them, bear the responsibilities that he has appointed to them. The important interests of a great nation were entrusted to men whose talents fitted them to handle these responsibilities. Some were chosen to direct the business affairs. Others were chosen to look after spiritual matters connected with the worship of God. All the religious service and every branch of the business was to bear the signature of heaven. Holiness unto the Lord was to be the motto of the laborers in every department. It was regarded as essential that everything be conducted with regularity, propriety, fidelity, and dispatch. To all who were engaged in his service, the Lord gives wisdom. The tabernacle to be borne in the wilderness and the temple at Jerusalem were built in accordance with the special directions from God. In the very beginning, he was particular as to the design and the accomplishment of his work. In this age of the world, he has given his people much light and instruction in regard to how his work is to be carried forward on an elevated, refined, ennobling basis, and he is displeased with those who in their service do not carry out his design. He will separate each man from his cause and prove others, who, if self-sufficient, will in turn be replaced by still other laborers. Manuscript 81, 1900. Chapter 29, verse 5. Half-hearted service cannot please God. The response came not only in liberal offerings of treasures to meet the expense of the building, but also in willing service in the various lines of God's work. Hearts were filled with a desire to return to the Lord his own by consecrating to his service all the energies of mind and body. Those upon whom had been placed burdens of state determined to labor heartily and unselfishly, using for God the skill and ability he had given them. David's exhortation to Solomon and his appeal to the burden-bearers of the nation should be kept in mind by those who are in positions of trust in the Lord's cause today. In this our day, God's people will prosper only so long as they keep his precepts, and those who bear responsibilities are called upon to consecrate their service to the Lord. Conference officers, church officers, managers and heads of departments in our institutions, laborers in the field at home and abroad, all are to render faithful service by using their talents wholly for God. The Lord is not pleased with half-hearted service. To him we owe all that we have and are. Review and Herald, September 14, 1905. Verse 14, David and God were partners. This subject of the use of the means entrusted to us should be carefully considered, for the Lord will require his own with usury. While in poverty, many regard systematic giving as a Bible requirement, but when they come into possession of money or property, they do not acknowledge God's claim upon them. They look upon their means as their own, but not so did King David regard his possessions. He understood that God is the great proprietor of all things and that he himself was highly honored in that he had been taken into partnership with God. His heart was filled with gratitude for the favor and mercy of God, and in his prayer, when presenting offerings for the building of the temple, he said, "Of thine own have we given thee." Review and Herald, December 8, 1896.